Now, while we're waiting for everyone to come in, I'm glad Habib is here. He's an attorney, and I'm glad he thinks in lines that he thinks in, because sometimes you can be rescued from trouble, and that's what his job is. And he brought to my attention that I need to clarify what I mean a corporation. I mean an abuse of a corporation. You must be incorporated to function in the world, in the business world. But that corporation is not the governing body of the church that is necessary to conduct business in the world. And so the two should be separate. But when they're married together, and then the corporate structure is applied to the church, then you can get yourself into trouble with overlordship and, you know, all of these other things that come along with it. Okay? So I thought I would just give that little clarification. Thank you, Habib. Appreciate it. All right. Let's look at a couple of other things here that we need to cover. Now, let's talk about what Christ said to the apostles concerning church government. Let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Now, you see, we just read Paul's attitude and what it was. That doesn't mean that there weren't elders and deacons and those who served. Because we saw he had a meeting with all the elders of Ephesus and what he warned them. It just means that it is not good today to take the corporate image of the world and make that the structure of the church. There needs to be order, there needs to be understanding, there needs to be serving. But the thing that we saw that Peter was against was the exaltation of the elders. And he gets this from here in Matthew, the 20th chapter, as well as John, the 21st chapter. And here's where the mother of Zebedee wanted to come and get an inside track for her sons to be on the right hand and on the left hand. And then he told him that he had a baptism to be baptized with, verse 22, and he said, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized by? And they said, we are, we're able. Well, what happened to James? Well, he was beheaded by Herod. What happened to John? He lived a lot longer, but they threw him in boiling oil, and God delivered him out of it. Okay, then gave him the book of Revelation. Now, when the 10 heard this, verse 24, they were indignant against the two brothers. Now, anger can be in two ways. They were angry because they didn't get there first to ask. Or they're angry because those two brothers were putting themselves forward when they shouldn't have. But they used the cover of nice, sweet mother. Okay? But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the nations exercise lordship over them. Okay? And this is katakurio, meaning downward lordship. In other words, a dictatorship. And their great ones exercise, now the great ones are the religious ones, exercise authority over them. And that is kata exousia, which is authority. However, it shall not be this way among you. So here he sets the tone of what it should be. And I think that whatever the Christian church in the world is, most of it has lost that too. Isn't that true? Yeah. Even the churches of God, many have lost it too, haven't they? Okay. But whoever would become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever would be first among you, let him be your slave. To serve, to help the church. You know, not everybody serve that one individual. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, how do you do that then? All right, let's come here to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, he told them before. I think it's very interesting when you go through and reread the Gospels and restudy the Gospels and put things together. Okay, Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." In other words, if you want to serve Christ, you do it God's way. "And let him take up his cross and follow me, whatever the difficulty is. And whosoever desires to save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his life?" Self-explanatory. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render to everyone according to his doings. Truly I say to you," then there were some that would see the vision of transfiguration. All right. Here's another one right along those lines. Let's come to Luke 14. Luke 14. Let's pick it up in verse 11. Luke 14 and verse 11. Now here's something that happens. You can see it happen. Over and over and over again, this is a life principle everywhere in the world. Luke 14 and verse 11. "Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled." We've seen that over and over again. In politics, in religion, in sports, in churches. Yes, indeed. In business. All right, come over here to verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and in addition his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So there are some things that are going to be difficult. There are some things that are going to be trials, whatever they may be. Then he talks about counting the cost. All right. Now, once we've done that and we're in the body of Christ, let's see how we are to be. And this is the key that helps us through everything, because remember, love is the greatest. And love is that which edifies. Love is that which is understanding. 1 Corinthians 13, the whole love chapter there. That shows the expression of love, and also is one of the greatest chapters in overcoming, 1 Corinthians 13. But we are going to John, the 15th chapter. John 15. Let's begin right here in verse 1. And this is what is so important in our relationship with God, because we are to have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's what our relationship needs to be. Now with that then we can, with the Spirit of God, reflect the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, understanding, helping, serving, giving, learning, all of those things together. And here's how it's done. Verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman." Now you go back to Isaiah, the 5th chapter, and there Israel is likened to a vine that God planted that was supposed to bring forth wonderful fruit that was given the best of everything. And when he went out to get the fruit, what did he find? Wild grapes. See, and sometimes that's the way we end up being. But we can recover ourselves. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." The Father is the one who is doing the work within us. And Christ is doing the work within us. Two parts of the Holy Spirit. Now, he takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, but he cleanses each one that bears fruit in order that it may bear more fruit. And if you live in a farming area or a ranching area or a vineyard area, you see that. Every year they go out and prune the vines. And the older that the trunk of the vine becomes, the better the wine. And so we can liken that to the church. We're to have a good, strong trunk, and we're to bring forth good fruit. Okay? You are already clean through the word which I've spoken to you, and that's why we need to study. We pray, we're speaking to God. We study, God is speaking to us, because these are the words of God. Dwell in me, or live in me, either one. Dwell in me and I in you. And that's by the Spirit of God, you see. Because God is doing an eternal work in us in preparing us for the kingdom of God. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but only if it remains in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you are dwelling in me. Always have to remain connected to Christ. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who is dwelling in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'll tell you one way that we can really gauge whether we're growing in grace and knowledge or not. And that is when we come to understand that in everything, in God, and through Christ, we live and move and have our being. Everything. See? That's what's important. This brings us into the relationship with God. This brings us into the fellowship that we are to have daily. See? Now, it was brought out this morning. Sometimes a prayer is answered, but it isn't delivered until later. So with that in mind, you look back at all of your prayers that you have prayed down through time, and you will see they've all been answered, but they've been delivered at different times. So whatever your prayer is, I know one man, he just couldn't think, and he just didn't understand how to think. And he couldn't figure anything out. And he prayed and said, "Oh God, help me to think. I just don't know how to think. Help me to think." Well, he gradually began to teach him how to think. Answered that prayer over a period of time and is still answering it. So whatever it is, God will hear. God is a God of promises, and his word is true and endures forever. So that's why we're to dwell in him. Because unless you are dwelling in me, you cannot bear any fruit. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who is dwelling in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not dwell in me, he's cast out as a branch and is dried up, and men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. Now there's one other process. Through repentance, even if you are cut off, you can take and be grafted back in. Now, just like you plant a seed, you water it, you don't know how it grows. You take a branch from a tree, you put it in the ground, and you water it, and in many cases, it'll start turning, growing, sending down roots, and it will grow into be another tree. So, if things have been difficult and you feel as though you've been cut off and lost, then what you need to do is come to yourself and repent, and you can be grafted back in. You can be put into the good soil and you can start growing again. But if not, and it's dried up, men gather them and cast them into a fire and they are burned. If you dwell in me, now this is what God wants, is the prevailing thing within his church, brethren. That's more important than preaching the gospel to the world, because the gospel can't be preached to the world unless there is the church working together the way that God wants it. Then preaching the gospel to the world can come. See? You can't neglect the one for the other. You can't put one over the other. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples and preach the gospel. The two things. If you dwell in me and my words, see, this is what is to be in our minds, dwell in you. You shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall come to pass for you. Now, if you've had some prayers that are long time being answered, well then, go to these passages like this and in John 14 and claim the promise. Now be sure and repent. Be sure and examine yourself. But you can always remind God, God, you have promised. God, you have given your word. It will come to pass. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. See? That's why Sabbath services then, when we come together, when we're doing this every day of the week, Sabbath services become a joy, not a stress. Sabbath services become a learning opportunity, not a regurgitation of something you've heard 1,000 times before. See? And if the ministers and teachers are doing this and learning and growing in grace and knowledge, then they'll be able to teach the brethren. See, we are to learn, constantly add to what we have. As the Father has loved me, now, you get down and out, and you are at the end of your rope, and we're coming to a time when many people are going to come to the end of their ropes because of the situations that are going to happen in the world. Remember this, as the Father has loved me, did they have perfect love between one another? Yes, indeed. I also have loved you. Live in my love. Now, we can also summarize it this way. So write this down. Number one, you stand in grace. Number two, you walk in faith. Number three, you live in hope. Or believe hope. Number three, you believe hope. Number four, you live in love. Take those four things. Four simple things. And everything from the New Testament flows from that. And if we understand that, and sometimes, you know, just remind yourself of it, stand in grace, walk in faith, believe in hope, live in love. All right, now verse 10. If you keep my commandments, what's the greatest commandment that we need to keep? Among ourselves, loving God, but among ourselves. Come back here to John 13, verse 34. Okay? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another in the same way that I have loved you. That's how you are to love one another. See? Now, if we do that, and we don't come in with an axe to grind or a private doctrine to whisper into someone's ear or having a grudge against anyone for anything, if we forgive and have forbearance, will be loving each other as Jesus loved them. See? That's what it's to be. When the brethren get together, it is to be a joyous occasion, not an oppressive, stressful event. Okay, back to John 15. If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love. See, there it is again. Live in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. This doesn't mean you aren't going to have troubles. This is the solution to your troubles. This doesn't mean that the friction might not come up between brethren, because we're all individuals. We all have strengths and weaknesses. But love gives us the solution to resolve it. So you go to your brother and sister and say, hey, you know, I got carried away. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I said something I shouldn't have said. Forgive me. And if someone comes to you like that, what do you do? Say, oh, of course I forgive you. Give them a big hug. See, that's how love covers a multitude of sins, because it gets rid of them. Love is not this little weak namby-pamby thing that accepts sin, and that's how it's covered. No. Love is that which gets rid of and covers sin through forgiveness, forbearance, and repentance. And this is how we need to live our lives. See? There it is right there. And this is all part of the new covenant. Okay? Shall live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. These things I've spoken to you in order that my joy may dwell in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There we have it again. Now always remember this. If it's repeated, it's important. There we have that, see. So what I want you to do, brethren, with all the things that I've covered today concerning the church wars and so forth, what we need to do is this. We need to express love to them, help teach them what they need to know in case there's something bothering them, help them to understand things that are happening, and turn them to Christ. Because it's too easy to look at a person and blame this one and blame that one and so forth, you see. And that will help restore them to Christ. Now, what they do and where they attend, that's up to them. Now, here's what Jesus did. We need to really grasp the significance of what he did. No one has greater love than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Okay? We're the friends of God, friends of Christ. So, God loves you, cares for you, has called you, watching over you, given you his Holy Spirit, given you the Word of God, giving you life and time to grow and change and overcome. And brethren, that's what it's all about. So all of these things that we're prone to do, let's set all of those aside. And let's concentrate on loving and serving God, and loving and serving each other, and do what we can to extinguish the church wars. So thanks for coming this Sabbath. Until next time. Next Sabbath, I'll be down here March 10th, okay? For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.